This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Talk fast because, you know, I'm used to, like, doing, like, the 45-minute ones of these where everybody at the end of it is like, so, what's your favorite color?
Yeah.
You know, run out of things to say, so I'll try to keep my answer short.
What's the coolest thing about playing Kim? What really?
You mean besides the hair?
Hair was cool.
I think for me it was the first time that I've ever not editorialized a character, if you know what I'm saying. Like, sometimes I felt like, okay, I'm going to know my character better than everyone, and here's what you're supposed to like about her, and here's what you're not supposed to like about her, and here's where she's coming from, and here's her journey, and this. And in a way, I would overthink it. And I had a realization about a month before we made this movie that it really doesn't matter if I like Kim or not. And it really doesn't matter, no offense, if any of you like Kim or love her. Actually, the only thing that was important to her story is that you understand her. And actually, the worst thing I could do would be in any way try to manipulate her so that, or to try to gain the audience's sympathy or respect or anything like that. That was never my intention. I just figured, oh my God, all I have to do, my only job, is to make her truthful. And if you make her truthful, she will be understood, and then people can take away with her what they want. But she'll be honest, and so that'll be on them to react.
Who'd you understand her to be, though? What's her deal?
You know, I gotten a lot of questions like, what was it like playing a selfish character? And I said, yeah, Kim definitely, I mean, she's got flaws, and sometimes you want to smack her and everything, but then the thing that I love about this movie is underneath it, here's a girl fighting for her survival. Mm-hmm. You know? She's fighting for her survival. She's fighting to stay sober. And then to the people that say she's selfish, I'm just like, do you see what she puts up with in the movie? Like, the way she's perceived, the way she's treated, and she's there putting up with it because she loves her sister. Kim is fierce. Kim has the biggest heart of, like, any character that I've ever encountered, and she's frighteningly intelligent, and she's just really extreme. I mean, and my heart goes out to her because I know people like that who do, they're just overwhelming people, and that's Kim. Kim overwhelms her senses. And she's so much fun to play.
Jonathan said that the looseness of Jenny's screenplay made him feel a little bit more free as a director to play around with form. Did you feel that same freeness because of the material, or where you kept kind of on your toes because of the shooting style?
It was... Do you do yoga?
I do. I went to yoga yesterday.
Okay,
yoga.
You know when, like, you're trying something new, and the only way to do this incredibly difficult pose is to be as relaxed as possible? That's kind of what making this movie was like. There were so many things being thrown at you, but all you could kind of do was say, all right, yeah, fine, let's try that. You know, Jonathan Demme's steering the ship, and I'm happy to be aboard. So, and in a way, I mean, I personally feel that your own personal hang-ups and feelings don't really matter when you're on set. You know, it's all about telling the story and doing the scene and telling the truth. And so I just automatically try to feel comfortable wherever I am, because if I'm uncomfortable, that's only going to stilt me and make me more self-conscious, and I'm kind of both of those things anyway. So the script, the consistency of it, the complexity of the conflict, the truth of the characters made it very easy, because there's nothing you had to bring to it. You just kind of had to show up and find the truth every day.
Do you think that anything that happens to you personally or in general as a teen influences and informs the rest of your life, or can you put it in the back drawer if something, you know, traumatic happened to you when you were like 16?
Meaning, no disrespect to the question, it's entirely dependent on the person.
Well, okay, you had something that happened, not as drastic as your character, but is there something that you still carry with you from teenhood? I work for a teen site, I'm just trying to...
Yeah, of course. I think one of the most beautiful things that we have going for us as human beings is our ability to heal. I think it's really, you mentioned putting something in a back drawer. I think that's almost dangerous, because everything that happens to you, at least in my experience in life, maybe I haven't been through things that are traumatic enough, but everything that has happened to me, good and bad, I feel has happened for a reason, and I've been made stronger from the good stuff and much, 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 much stronger from the bad stuff. I don't want to put anything in a drawer, but I do want to let things rest and heal, and it just becomes a part of you. Like, one of my favorite lines in the movie is the woman who gets up at the first NA meeting and says, you know, I'm an addict. That's just one fact. It's a fact, one fact among many. And I think that, you know, when you're talking about your past, that is what happens. Depends on, of course, the level of the trauma.
Does this one affect your personal life or stayed with you for a while?
Does the character... Kim, I didn't want to let Kim go. I'm not going to lie. I didn't want to let her go. I loved her. I felt more inspired, to be honest, to value... I felt more of a willingness after I play this character to put myself out there and not be afraid of being judged or misunderstood or disliked. And I found a lot of confidence in this role to be able to approach people and say, look, as long as I'm myself, you can like me or dislike me, but at least it's under, you know, honorable pretenses. And I felt really comfortable, and I found that it's that level of honesty and self-representation has really deepened my relationship with the people that I love in my life and has made my life better. So even if Kim's not with me anymore, her lessons are, and that's good.
How are you doing?
You were going to ask a question.
In the simulated wedding atmosphere, did the other guests, were they informed about who Kim was and what her deal was, or did they just have to meet her point blank?
No, I mean, some people... Everybody had a backstory that Jonathan had talked to them about, like, at least once, and so some people were older family members in the story, so obviously they have a, there was more of a give and take, and then other people, you know, were kind of fresh to it, like, for example, the Kieran character, who's able to see Kim exactly as who she is, without her past, without her baggage. I mean, who observes her as being a very complicated girl, but also sees how far she's come. And along in her recovery, obviously based on his own experience. So it was a mixed bag, really. And but I thought it was really cool. Like, you know, I got to meet Fab Five Freddy, and I just and I just went ahead full steam. Like, we've been friends forever, and so I was like running up to him, jumping on him, like asking questions. And it was great because he was just kind of—I mean, he was game. But at one point, I totally crossed a line. He was like, "Who the hell is this girl?" And I'm just like, "That's see, and that works for the character." He was really nice.
How are you dealing with all the buzz?
What buzz? Bees, you mean?
Yeah, Secret Life of Bees. You know, all the Oscar buzz that's been swirling around this film and your performance.
It's thrilling to have inspired people in a performance to put their passion out there on display. That's so cool, and I've never done anything that warranted that before or garnered it. So I'm enjoying having my work enjoyed. That being said, ultimately the buzz doesn't matter until the nominations come out, so I'm not really thinking about it too much.
After doing this, how light and breezy is Bride Wars?
Honestly, it was tough to get back to the 19-hour shooting days, you know, because in this one, like, if we worked 10 hours, it was like, you know, everyone was like, oh my God, it's so hard. We were so spoiled in terms of how well we were taken care of, and Bride Wars was a pretty rigorous shooting schedule. But I was still kind of coming out of, you know, Jonathan Demiworld, so I felt like I had a really light touch with the character, and I felt really good playing her. And Bride Wars is like this movie 180 degrees, you know? And, I mean, it's impossible not to have fun with Kate Hudson. She's just like a ray of sunshine.
She's in the building today.
I know! I haven't seen her yet!
She's right here from the same movie.
She just told us that she saw a cut of it, and she really liked it.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, she didn't call me. She owes me that blonde.
Do you think you will be nominated for the Oscar or Golden Globe?
It doesn't matter
I think personally you should.
Thank you. It doesn't matter what I think. I either will or I won't. Just like in the past, you either are nominated or you're not. We'll see which way this one goes. Thank you.
Yeah, I did a TV interview with you a few months ago where you seemed so excited about getting able to promote a fragrance. So I was wondering what it was like for you to switch gears and, you know, do a project where you're just filming something where you don't have to figure out the character. And
you mean the fragrance?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had a character.
One that you don't have to, like, kind of sit there and analyze, I would assume.
I analyzed her, too.
It's a seamless thing.
I think I just torture myself because I do all this stuff. But it was fun to kind of to tell a story in 30 seconds, and we're about to shoot a second campaign, so we have to tell a story in 12 seconds. And it's kind of, we're all sitting around just like with our head in our hands, just like, okay, what's your idea? So it's a different type of storytelling. I mean, I'm used to telling stories over 2 hours, and so to condense it like that and try to have something that means something is a challenge. But it's also really fun because it's like a day that you shoot.
And after the success of Get Smart, have you been asked to do another one?
I have not been asked yet. I understand that people are hopeful, but nothing has been set in stone yet. So if you care, please call Warner Brothers.
Right about it.
How would you describe your DNC experience? Seemed like you were having a good time.
Oh, wow. It was amazing. Let me preface this by saying that, you know, when I'm promoting a movie, I don't talk politics, and when I'm talking politics, I don't promote a movie. Mm-hmm. So, but to talk about the DNC as an experience without going into my adoration of Barack Obama, entirely not talking about how much I love Barack Obama, and I think he should be the president. Yeah, yeah. You know, it was a really cool thing when we made this movie because Jonathan cast it like his life, and that's my life, and the movie looks like the America that I know. And all of a sudden, I was at the DNC, and the DNC looked like the America that I know, and the RNC just didn't. And I just thought, yeah, this is where we are. This is who we are. This is, you know, it's funny, that word liberal has been so besmirched for the past 8 years by the administration that it caused a lot of people to lose hope. And so to see people standing there looking at a candidate like Barack Obama and saying, oh yeah, our liberal policies produced that genius, you know, or helped that genius along and gave him opportunities. And that is what America can be, and that's what we should be moving toward, to be with 84,000 people who had felt disenfranchised and hopeless and powerless and without a voice, all of a sudden be there to say, no, it's okay, I believe too. It was like a liberal revival. It was so exciting.
Could you talk about the sisterhood? I don't know, you have siblings, or could you compare from your experience, and how did you kind of make the sisterhood bond with Rosemary?
Well, I don't have sisters, but I do have girlfriends that were as close as sisters, and I have obviously grown up observing, you know, with my friends who had sisters, observing what that was like. And what I always noticed with them is that I always thought they hated each other, you know, but they... And that's the thing about sisterhood. It's a person that you're free to love with your whole heart and hate with your whole heart. So I think Rosemary and I just kind of did that in our scenes. But... yeah, so that was kind of the way we attacked it. Like, it's the person that maybe you don't talk to them for months at a time, but when you go back, you know, you can't deny that your heart reaches out for that person.
You guys did not actually have time to kind of meet more often before this production we had, so that's kind of really helped to make a little bit...
Well, we didn't want to. We went out to have a dinner, and it was a little awkward because, like, we were half in character, half really curious about what the other person was like. So we didn't really try. We thought that the awkwardness would be good between the two of us because the characters don't know each other very well right now and kind of are getting to know each other again during the course of the movie. So we never focused on that or doubted that. And we kind of kept, like, a really respectful, friendly distance from each other. Like, there was never any question that it was personal. It was just what's going to serve the story best. And we've gotten to know each other since the movie finished, and I really like her. I mean, she's a great girl, and she's so adorable. She's, like, the most adorable person on the planet. And she's a phenomenal actress, and I expect such great things for her, and doors to open from this performance, because it's just magnificent.